Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for April the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe in the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. They're one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's show available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Archives and on-demand radio at your fingertips live as well. We had our guest on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We talked about Chinese airlines offering flights for about the cost of a cup of coffee. We talked about a mom going viral for addressing disrespectful son with bathroom push-ups. We talked about Lowell attending and reporting on last Saturday's Utah business revival rally. We talked about quarantine is when you restrict the movement of sick people. Tyranny is when you restrict the movement of healthy people. It's going on everywhere. They say, how do you know when you're healthy or sick, huh? How do you know? Well, you know, when you're a kid, you're expected to know. When you're an adult, there's just no way to know. It's too complicated. You got to put that in the hands of government. All right, anyway, we need to understand that Dr. Shiva and others are highlighting, look, anyone who's sick would do well to stay at home and be cared for and voluntarily, you know, protected and cared for and all that. But you know what? Everyone else needs to do what they normally do. Work, play, live, entertain, etc. Why are governments doing this, folks? Gary D. Barnett on the internet had an answer. Monetary restructuring, population control, mandatory vaccinations, digital money systems, social, quote, scoring, and surveillance, and any other agenda fatal to liberty. That's what's going on here. There's a huge strike on the sacred cause of liberty, folks. That's what's happening here. And you can say, well, the ends justifies the means, Sam. You can say, well, in a crisis, Sam, this is critical. We'll get back to it after the crisis. We'll care for liberty after the crisis, Sam. That's what they always say. But every time we end up with less liberty. Ron Paul is documenting that they're working on a health care Patriot Act. They're literally going to control health care top to bottom. And they're going to surveil you in the process using your smartphone to do it, folks. The unseen death toll of COVID-19 and the measures related to that. Tom McClintock wrote an incredible article about this saying, you know what? We're being betrayed here big time. We talked about shutdown setbacks, three rally flyers. And Kirk Crosby created one of the flyers. So that's pretty cool news. Shake Shack returned $10 million. They got an emergency loan from the U.S. government, and they realized that, you know what? The big corporation has got all the cash, and the small guy's got the shaft. Shake Shack recognized it and said, listen, we have the capability of getting funding elsewhere. We'll return the money and get funding elsewhere. Well, what an incredible example of a corporation, huh? Good for Shake Shack. I'm a fan of Shake Shack now. All right, we also had our guest on second hour, Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. Check it out. Incredible webinars on the Constitution and a whole lot more. There's collegiate series on how to preserve the nation. We talked about Norwalk's Baber. Is that how you say it? We're not asking for permission. We're opening, talking about the race car stuff. We're just simply opening. And, you know, people are really pushing back against these shutdowns, as they should. Reports suggest many have had coronavirus with no symptoms whatsoever. Many have had the coronavirus with no symptoms whatsoever. There's study after study after study bearing that out now. Maybe we should have thought of that before we locked everybody down and destroyed the economy completely, huh? Appeals court rules against Dennis Prager in a censorship case. That's sad news. But I don't really disagree. You know, Prager's saying, hey, Facebook and YouTube and all these, they've got to allow us on their social platforms. And their response is, no, we're private companies and we don't want you to do that. And you say, well, Sam, they've got a bunch of government Whose responsibility is that? Facebook, YouTube, and other big tech companies are not bound to abide by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the court ruled. Yeah, they're private companies. Why should they be forced to, be bound by the Constitution, huh? You say, well, Sam, they're too big to fail. Uh-huh. And who made them too big to fail? Republicans and Democrats in the swamp? Who funded them with government money? Go study the history. You'll find out they were all funded with collegiate government money. You got a triad between the military, the government, and private tech businesses. It's been going on for decades, folks. Who's to blame? Those who funded it and ignored it. Those who elected them ignorantly, right? All of us are responsible. Right? Not eating enough fruit and vegetables, they say, increases risk of anxiety disorders. So get your fruits and veggies, your mom said, and there's a good reason behind it, huh? Army of 100,000 Chinese ducks are on standby. Yeah, I guess to fight the locust going on there. You know, we prayed in Utah when that happened 100 plus years ago, 150 years ago plus. And, the seagulls were the solution the Lord sent. Maybe they had to pray hard in China, huh? Thomas Massey, quote, if voter ID is a tax on voting rights, then firearm licensing is a tax on the Second Amendment. I agree with that. But again, we have taxes everywhere. Republicans and Democrats alike in the swamp love taxes, folks. They'll just tax you into oblivion if you let them. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. News the Network refuse to use starts now. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. Kurt sent me a story that we covered yesterday, but he must have updated information on it. Headlines the same. Report suggests many have had coronavirus with those symptoms. Any update on this?
Well, in my opinion, it's just something that's pretty important to highlight, and I'm glad you brought it up again and, highlighted it anyway, but I believe that the standard media just doesn't highlight that, and most people are unaware of it. So that's my reasoning for, highlighting it.
Is the, press briefings, are they highlighting it?
Well, not that I, at least, not that I can remember.
How come?
That much.
What was the last one you watched? Maybe you're not caught up, Kurt.
Yeah, I tried to watch some last night. It's just, hard to get it all done.
I hear that. Wow. Okay, so how come they're not highlighting that, though, if that's the, primary key headline? In my opinion, there's studies everywhere validating this, including Stanford. I mean, is Fauci not tapped in, or is President Trump doesn't know about this, you think? Is that possible?
It seems to me that it would be a very good thing to bring up.
Maybe it's fake news and they don't want to cover it,
I know that at least in the one that I heard pretty much last night, they were highlighting the work of the Army Corps of Engineers and how they had done such good work putting up the different hospitals, and that kind of thing, and that kind of stuff that I heard there.
What you're talking about is if they were to admit this, it would undermine what they've been telling you for literally hours and hours and hours on end, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it would shed light on some really good stuff and make some people not quite so worried about running around with those masks on and all that,
Yeah, you might actually trust them if they came clean, huh?
Well, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah, that's why I really don't watch it, because I just find that there's a lot of good there. But they missed the core things. I don't know if but they came out with a new study where the government now is recommending a lot of sunlight, Kurt, for the coronavirus. Did you see this?
Seemed like I heard a report on it, but that was a government report?
Well, government's now saying they realize that sunlight's one of the great keys to solving the coronavirus thing. Haven't we been saying that for long time?
Yeah, we have. I know. I saw on the part of the Ingram angle, you know, just a little bit there. She was highlighting that on some report, and I can't remember exactly where it was, but, you know, she said how silly it was to make people, you know, have to be inside so much, especially if apparently the virus is pretty much neutralized by sunlight, you know.
I wouldn't say neutralized, but I'd say it's decreased significantly. Only reason I don't want to say neutralized is then if you get out in the sun, people are going to think anybody who gets out in the sun can just flat out stop it. That may or may not be true. I think it's part of the solution, not all of it, right? And that's why I say it takes a lot of sleep. It takes, you know, good rest. It takes fresh air. Fresh air is as important as sunlight, in my opinion. You know, but I don't see them talking about any of that. I don't see them talking about this has basically been blown out of proportion big time. And, you know, they're just not. Anyway, I'm not here to beat everybody up. I'm just here to show the disparity. You know, why do they continue with whatever they're talking about when these other solutions become so evident and so prominent? It's not one study now. It's starting to be 10, 15, 20, 30 studies about this. All right. Trump does do a great job, though, and consults faith leaders, Kurt.
Well, at least in my opinion, that's an important factor in this whole thing. You know, that, you know, he's doing that. You know, I welcome that.
Yeah. All right. Any comments from the faith leader discussion?
Not much that I can add right now.
All right. Just that he's consulting them. Like, that's good. All right. Donald Trump did something else very good. We'll tell you about it in seconds.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosertified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosertified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Well, Sam, maybe just a little more detail on the faith leaders thing that I've got. The AP even covered it, which, you know, is kind of unusual. Now, the way they would cover it, they say he held a call with faith leaders one day after his White House included houses of worship among large venues that could be able to reopen while observing strict physical distancing protocols. This is in the first stage of the three-part plan to reopen the U.S. economy, which the AP says has been frozen by the toll of the highly contagious virus. So anyway, that's what they say there. The next headline says...
They're full of propaganda, buddy. I don't even know what they're talking about. Now, I agree, and it's good that Trump is meeting with these faith-based leaders, and I appreciate their input, and I accept and support the desire to reopen the congregations and everything. But what do they mean by this massive toll? So far, the toll in the United States is, what, 40,000 deaths, basically? Is that right?
Yeah, that's the part I'm talking about.
All right, that's like a half of what a normal flu season is, buddy.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not suggesting those lives are not important, but this outrageous toll, I mean, they make it sound like, I mean, how many people died in the 1918 flu, Kurt?
I don't remember, Sam, but it seems like it was quite a lot.
Yeah, it was like at least 10 times that,
call
right?
It, that was really from China.
What was from China?
I don't remember. They say the Spanish flu was really from China.
Then why do they call it the Spanish flu? What kind of racist would do a thing like that?
You know, I mean, it's... He who owns the history textbooks, I guess.
I guess so. Anyway, I look at that, though, and I say, so I'm not at all dismissing the loss of life, and it's horrible. But I'm saying you got to put it in perspective, and they run around and act like these are just crazy through-the-roof numbers. I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way at all. Okay, let's put it in perspective and put that up side-by-side with the flu, and let's really dig in. Let's put it up side by side with all kinds of other numbers. How many people are dying from alcohol abuse? How many people are dying from smoking cigarettes? And how many people are dying from eating sugar even, for crying out loud? Or, I mean, there's a gazillion different things you could put up. And I'm telling you, this coronavirus will be way down the list. And it's not even close to the flu numbers yet. Now, is it serious? Yes. Do we need to take it seriously? Absolutely. But I'm having a problem with this whole discussion. Who's Demuth, Kurt? Who, is that the right way to say this person's name? I assume it's a name.
Yeah, it's an author.
Okay.
Sam for Breitbart says, unlike Bush and Obama, Trump succeeded in crisis by decentralizing power. I thought that was interesting, at least if you can do that. You know, that's, you know, kind of unusual.
Yeah, when you say interesting, educate people on how. This is important, Kurt.
Well, at least when I see even the few of these briefings that I've watched, when he, for example, let's say he gets pushed back from, say, the FDA or the CDC or whatever it is, you know, he'll basically say, hey, well, we'll just, you know, get that done in another way. And at least when I see that being done, then I think, instead of getting a new, big, like another HUD or another, what was the one we got with, 9/11? We got the, Homeland Security, I think it was. Instead of getting something else, you know, to deal with these things, at least we get, what I'd call streamlined, the ones that we've got and or, still working on getting rid of the ones. Christopher Demuth, he writes with the Hudson Institute, and he argues in the Wall Street Journal that President Trump has made history by decentralizing power during a crisis, like his predecessors, who used crisis to build a bigger government. He points out that Trump has empowered state and local governments while enlisting the help of the private sector and cutting red tape. He's asserted federal prerogatives, but mostly as a way of keeping people in line, not abusing his power. He says, contrary to claims that the federal government mismanaged the early stages of the crisis in testing, for example, he notes that departments like the FDA did exactly what they were supposed to until Trump intervened to reduce regulations. He writes, throughout history, national emergencies have led to a more powerful and centralized federal government and to the transfer of federal power from Congress to the executive branch. This time, the federal response rests largely on state and local government and private enterprise, with a wave of deregulation clearing the way. The Trump administration has seized no new powers, and Congress has stayed energetically in the game.
All right, do you agree with this guy, Kurt?
Well, I think he's got some points that are pretty useful here.
Yeah, do you agree with him? I know that's hard to answer.
But do you agree?
Well, so far from what he said, there's more to the article, but I do see that, and I've seen him, like I say, deregulate, or in other words, get rid of a bunch of red tape in many ways and get things done in a better way, I think. But, that's my take.
So the answer would be yes, I would think, Kurt. The answer, if you'd say, yes, I do. And by the way, the answer for me is yes, I do. I completely agree with this guy. President Trump, you know what? There's a lot of criticism that can go around in the deep state that we find ourselves in a situation where we're so far from the proper rule of government, it isn't funny. Okay, there's a lot of criticism to go around, and justly so. But there also needs to be a clarion call for what President Trump has done and is doing. He has been reducing regulations big time. Is it enough? Of course not. It's so overwhelming that it can never be enough. Okay, but the fact is he's made tremendous strides in this. And for example, I've even watched probably less of these, briefings than Kurt has, but I have seen enough to say this. Literally, these reporters will go, Trump, how come you're not locking down this state? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not? And Trump's just like, look, I'm not the only leader here. I'm not the only elected official here. There's this thing called the Constitution. There's these things called checks and balances. I've left that up to the governor. It's not my job to shut down the governor. I don't have all authority. He hasn't said this blatantly, but the inference is I'm not a king. And he's literally said to the states, and I don't have the headline in front of me, but it's like states are going to basically take the lead and call the shots. I'm going to provide the support and the strength and the research and the guidance, and we're going to work together on this, but governors are going to call the shots. He's literally divested power into 50 people, if you're talking about the governors, and their organizations, as opposed to doing it or demanding it himself or within his own department. He's literally pushed back, and they're like, well, why don't you lock this down, or why don't you do this, or why don't you force that, or why don't you... And President Trump's like, look, if these guys, don't want ventilators, I'm not going to make them take them. Or if these guys don't need masks or whatever, and you've seen governors do some pretty neat things. Several states have simply not locked everybody down, Utah being one of them. Now, there's been some tyrannical mayors in Salt Lake City and stuff, or county people that have locked people down, but the state of Utah hasn't, the governor hasn't, and the president of the United States hasn't. And so I completely agree with this guy. I always want more, but I got to give credit where credit's due, and I think this guy's right. Okay? When you basically turn to faith-based leaders, and when you realize that many people have had coronavirus without any symptoms at all, and that it's way more widespread, and then you watch DeMuth writing and articulating this reality, that, you know what, even prior Republicans, okay, Bush named, and Obama, Bush and Obama are basically the same as in this incidents, Trump taking a different road, saying, look, I'm not going to use this to concentrate more power. And I think in many ways he hasn't. In some ways he has. But, partnering with the private sector can be good. Leaving things to the private sector can be good. And I think the next headline report highlights the point, Kurt.
Well, there's one more little paragraph on this one that I think, says a lot of what you were just saying, but I think it's... useful. He says, Mr. Trump has received criticism from all sides for these measured responses, but he says he mainly has given pride of place to federalism and private enterprise, lauding the patriotism and proficiency of our fantastic governors and mayors, our incredible business leaders and genius companies, our heroic doctors and nurses and orderlies, and our tremendous truckers. By shouting out many of them by name and documenting their deeds on a daily basis, he has vivified the American way in action, once reluctantly aroused. When asked why he has not issued orders for nationwide home and business lockdowns, he's emphasized that the intensity of the epidemic varies widely and is best met by calibrated state and local judgments, and added pointedly that such steps would conflict with the Constitution.
See, I think he's absolutely right, and he's done a lot there, and he deserves credit. Interesting report coming up.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A Republican governor who's been very critical of the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus pandemic has secured a 500,000 test kits from South Korea. Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland, with the help of his wife, First Lady Yumi Hogan, a Korean immigrant.
We convened countless calls nearly every night. Sometimes it seemed like all night, working through language barriers and a 13-hour time difference.
At last evening's coronavirus update at the White House, President Trump was clearly unimpressed.
He needed to go to South Korea. I think he needed to get a little knowledge would have been helpful.
Some governors are already working to roll back coronavirus restrictions. The states of Georgia, Florida, Minnesota, Tennessee, Texas, and Wisconsin will be easing those restrictions effective the 1st of May. And this is USA Radio News.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Average gasoline prices nationwide falling again, over 4 cents a gallon over the last week. The national average only $1.79 a gallon. Here's John Clemens.
Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us that national average is $1.07 lower than a year ago.
The national average has declined for its eighth straight week, posting a drop of 4.4 cents to stand at approximately $1.79 per gallon. Prices now down 35 cents in a month and $1.07 lower than last year.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is looking to stock up amid plunging oil prices. President Trump saying yesterday at the White House that the country is filling up the national petroleum reserves. He said they could fill the reserves by putting in as many as 75 million barrels as oil prices continue to crater as the coronavirus pandemic drives down demand. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, sorry about that. Must be the coronavirus, I don't know. All right. I guess there's a new report out. President Trump and his administrative officer here. What are they going to do, Kurt? They're going to help Red Cross and Samaritan's Purse?
Well, it sounds like they're trying to redirect the WHO, that's the World Health Organization, funding that money to, you know, well, private and one case, a private charity. I think your Red Cross would be private as well. You got Samaritan's Purse and the Red Cross, so that's going to really tick off some folks. You know, they're going to say separation of church and state or whatever they're going to say, I suppose. But I welcome the input of these other charities, especially faith-based ones, in my opinion, to the game.
So is this good news in your mind?
Well, compared to having all the money going to the World Health Organization, I'd say it's welcome news.
Yeah, so you got the ideal and the real, in my opinion, in this discussion. The ideal is we wouldn't be having government spend money on any of this. After all, it's not yours to give, if you ask Davy Crockett, right? However, if we're going to spend this money, I'd rather have it go to the Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross than I would to have it go to some other government global world organization. You know, it's kind of like abstinence-only funding in government schools for sex ed. I don't want any money going there. But if you're going to have money going there, at least have some of it go to in my opinion, those who would care for it and spend it much better. Isn't that the discussion, Kurt?
Well, it is for me. That's the way I see this one.
All right. It is for Kurt. I think it is for everybody if they want to follow the supreme law of the land, right? There's not different truths out there. There's just truth, right?
Well, for some folks, there's different truths, I think. And if you, you know, I mean, if you only look at one place, then you're only going to find the story the way that place says it, you know?
Yeah, to me, there's facts and truth, and it comes from one source. It's God, and there's only one way to salvation. There's only one truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. I know Kurt thinks there's a bunch of truths out there, but I don't. You know, it's like I got an alternate set of true facts here going on. Well, at some point they conflict, and at some point, you know, so there's only one way to liberty, folks, is the point. God's the author of liberty, and he's not a god of confusion, and there's not a gazillion roads that go there, right? Lady Gaga's in the news, and so is Beyonce, Kurt.
Well, it shows you how the, you know, the big celebrities, even though the president said, hey, it's a waste of money to fund the World Health Organization, they just get a bunch of big shots and together, and they raise $55 million to dump in that cesspool, the World Health Organization. And, you know, it just shows you the, well, the two sides. Those people, I'm sure, believe that they're, you know, saving the world when they put their money and their effort towards that. I believe they're completely wrong. You know,
when you say they're completely wrong, what do you mean they're completely wrong?
Well, I believe that they shouldn't be putting their $55 million to the World Health Organization. I think they'd be a lot smarter to put it to the Samaritan's Purse people and the Red Cross and other church and faith-based things. But these people would think that that's almost ruining the planet when you have people with Bibles and, you know, all that kind of stuff running around trying to help people. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I say there's different viewpoints of how people, I mean, just like me, I think I'm trying to make a difference when I'm selling honey and having the Make America Great Again hats. Some people, well, I had one guy say that I took down the Nazi flag because I didn't have the President Trump flag up, you know. And so, you know, I mean, he must think that or else he wouldn't.
Well, he thinks that. It doesn't change the truth, though. Right. The different viewpoints are no doubt there, but it isn't a Nazi flag. The truth is it's a Donald Trump flag. And so the truth is it's a Donald Trump flag, not a Nazi flag. See, that's what I mean by there's one truth, even if this guy has his own viewpoint, which he's entitled to. And I find this interesting. So I agree with you that I would not put my money, if I were a celebrity, to the World Health Organization. By any means, I wouldn't do that. And I certainly wouldn't lead celebrities in, you know, this concert raising $55 million for the cause. I wouldn't do that at all. So I agree with you completely on that. But here's what I find interesting about it a little bit. And this is where, you know what, I'm not here to down anybody, but I try to cover stories in ways that really teach people the ideal and really bring out important truths that I think people miss often. What's better for the government to donate money to Samaritan's Purse and Red Cross, or private people to put their money in places where we think they ought to not put it? What's better? And I'd have to say that, hey, these celebrities with their own money, if they want to put it in a place I disagree with, that's fine. But it's their money, their private money, they can do whatever they want with it. I think it's worse to put government money even to better places. I mean, it's better than worse places, but it's worse to put government money places than these people putting their private funding places. So what I'm saying is that even though I support taking the money from the WHO and putting it in Samaritan's Purse and the Red Cross, because I think it's better than the WHO, the best is to not put it anywhere because it's not theirs to give. But I would support more these private people, even though they put their money in places I wouldn't agree with. They can do what they want with their money. I'd support that more than I would government putting money to these other places. What do you think, Kurt?
Understand.
Do you think that makes sense? Do you think that's true?
Yes.
All right. Anyway, I find that an interesting comparison, though. And we need to be very careful, because if we praise government for putting money in a better place and then we criticize these people for putting their private money somewhere, then if we're not very careful, we've kind of missed the truth. And the truth is that private
using
people...
the way you do your logic many times, Sam, you could also say that these people are funded many times by governments, and the way they are is they get some special deal to be there, or they get special venue prices or whatever, and so then you could say, hey, that's government as well.
That's
in other words,
point.
Where you say, these Facebooks or whatever, are, were originally funded by government, is that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think of that in this case, but you're spot on. And this is what I mean by we need to dig into stories and really think through it. And so here's how I would say it, and because I try to focus on principle through every one of these discussions. Right. It isn't about me. It isn't about me being right or wrong, or it's about principle. So Kurt brings up a valid point. So in that these celebrities donate their own money somewhere, I may disagree with where they're putting it, but I support their right to put it wherever they want to. If they're getting money from government sources, though, then again, just like we shouldn't be handing out money to the WHO, and I would support more so at least the Red Cross and Samaritan's Purse, but we shouldn't be giving money to them. We shouldn't be giving money to these celebrities either. So in that they get money that isn't theirs to have, then I would reject that too, Kurt, based on principle, and say, hey, that ought to not happen either. So if they're taking money from the public trough, I would much rather see the Samaritan's Purse have it and the Red Cross have it than I would the celebrities or the WHO.
And so many times you get these, I've heard them mentioned as money laundering schemes. When, for example, let's say Nancy Pelosi puts in her bill, the thing about the Kennedy Center, or maybe it's a thing that funds let's say it's some bridge in some place or whatever. Well, then she finds out, or you find out later, that those guys that got the $100 million for whatever that was, later they contributed $20 million back to the Democratic Party.
It's a wise call and a wise point. And if these guys are getting kickbacks from the WHO and everything else, again, you got to watch the money trail. I think it's a spot on point you bring up, Kurt, and that's what I mean by digging into these stories. It's not a matter of being right or wrong, but it is a matter of pointing out the truth here and pointing out exactly what's happening. And in that these celebrities are getting any money from the government, I reject it too. So what we want to do, in my opinion, is trace these things, focus on them, and highlight principles of truth. But we got to be consistent along the way as we do it. So, hey, I support the Trump admin redirecting funding from the WHO to the Red Cross and the Samaritan's Purse. If you're going to spend that money, at least spend it in better places. However, I would reject the money going to any of them. And I certainly would reject any money going to these celebrities. But hey, if they want to put their money where their mouth is and spend their money, I wish the Patriots would do that. If we did, we could have a real network. We could really spread the word. Donald would even take notice of us and probably come on our network if it was big enough, if the people were to double down and fund their, these efforts as well. But you're right, Kurt. It's a wise point to bring up, and I think that's what we've got to learn to do, is trace these stories all the way through and bring up these valid points. It's not a double-edged sword against us, because we're based on principle only after the truth. Donald Trump brought up another interesting point that I think is absolutely spot on. We'll talk about it in seconds. Don't let our love start slipping. Love starts slipping away.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Well, Sam says I'm up, ladies and gentlemen. The next story, the headline reads, Donald Trump, coronavirus, exposed dangers of supply chains dependent on China. We've been talking about this for a long time. Our buddy Chuck Harder pointed this out years ago. Even Ross Perot, they called it the sucking sound as companies left America. And so now... hopefully this will enhance the move of American companies and, the necessary items that we need to be made right here in good old USA.
Yeah, and this is where I call President Trump spot on, Kurt, because I think he's right. He has highlighted this. Ross Perot highlighted this. Donald Trump's not really bringing up anything new because we've known this for a long time, as you wisely point out. But I haven't seen a president in my lifetime speak out and say that ever. Have you?
Not that I can remember. I just don't recall it.
Even Reagan wasn't saying that, I don't think, Kurt.
Well, not that I ever.
So I got to give President Trump credit. He's highlighting a truth, and that truth needs to be embraced, right? All right. South Carolina doing a pretty good job too, Kurt.
Well, headline reads, report South Carolina to reopen public beaches, retail stores, and that's, I understand, today.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting, huh?
Next, yeah.
Hold on, before you go along, though, this is an example where you made the point where President Trump, or what's this guy's name,
DeMuth, yeah,
DeMuth, anyway, DeMuth made the point about President Trump, what's the word? Decentralizing. And this is an example of the point, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says South Carolina to reopen public beaches, retail stores today. Next headline says Dr. Deborah Birx defends Jacksonville, Florida officials for reopening beaches. Yeah.
So, see, in my opinion, refreshing. Good for Deborah Birx there to praise the governor and, hey, let's get back to work and get back to life and society. There's a balance here, and I appreciate their efforts in that. However, as far as I've been able to read somewhere else, Dr. Birx, physician certificate expired, Kurt? Is she really a doctor?
I don't know about that. That's the one I've missed.
All right, you should dig into that and find that out for us, man. They should be talking about that in the briefings. They should be like, hey, we're going to have Deborah at the briefings, but her certificate's been expired, so we're not going to let her join us this time. She's not qualified. And you could do that, you know.
Well, she might be fighting against the whole government, licensing thing. Maybe that's what she's doing.
Well, then she should bring it up and tell us about her harrowing, brush with the deep state and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right. There's a judge doing up, in my opinion, a good job, Kurt.
Well, yeah, the headline says, report, judge blocks Democrat Kansas governor's order limiting church gatherings to 10 people. So, I like to see that, and that's why we have these separations of power in America, so that hopefully government doesn't get out of control when the different entities, the legislative, judicial, and executive, do their proper roles, then... nobody is supposed to act like a king, and so hopefully that is an improvement there.
Yeah, you know why I like this story, Kurt?
Sure.
Because I rarely get to hear good things about judges. I mean, it's so rare that a judge is doing something that's just like, wow, good for him or her or whatever. And this is an example where the judge is doing good. Now you would say, well, Sam, don't you like the social distancing and the restricting? It's necessary for safety. And I understand that, but I also understand that you can't, like, say it's okay to have, you know, 1,000 people in an abortion clinic and nobody at a church. So we need to be consistent across the board here about this. And I'm just telling you right now that I commend the judge. Rarely do I get to see a judge doing a good job here. And when I see one, I want to kind of focus on it and highlight it and celebrate a little bit in hopes that other judges might follow suit, Kurt. All right. Governor Greg Abbott is independent. And Trump is recognizing the independence of the good governor down there in Texas, Kurt.
Yeah, and the headline from Breitbart says, exclusive Governor Greg Abbott on reopening. Texas is the economic engine of America. I don't know that Texas is, but it's sure a big part of it. And, you know, I think the amazing part of America is when it all works like it should, man, it's amazing how everybody contributes. Even little old Rhode Island contributes, you know.
Yeah, and I think factually you're right. I don't know that it's the economic engine of America totally, but it is a big part of it. And I think what the governor's trying to do is highlight the differences in his state and other states, such as New York or California, that are so much more tyrannical and so much more regulatory happy to the point where people have to just flee those states and go to Texas so they can crank up their businesses and keep a little bit more of their money and this kind of stuff. I think Governor Abbott's pointing out that fundamental truth, even though factually you're right, he's not. Or it's not the economic engine of America, but it's certainly a big part. I think he's trying to highlight that difference, though, Kurt, and I agree with the general point that he's making, which is, hey, Texas or whatever given state that are business-friendly, that are less regulation-happy, that are into freedom, you know, those states are the economic engine of America. And it's kind of like small business is a great economic engine of America as well. But you're right, it's not the whole thing. But I do like the truth that Greg Abbott's highlighting a little bit, Kurt.
Amen to that.
Now, this is opposite from small business, but they're still doing pretty good. It's pretty exciting news here, Kurt.
Well, yeah, the next one says Walmart to hire 50,000 more workers after filling 150,000 jobs during the pandemic. So, you know, Walmart, there's certain places that are, I guess you could say, really prospering during this coronavirus thing. And it's good to see that all those out of work or a bunch of those out of work people can maybe pick up a job there at Walmart.
And as far as I understand, Walmart and others are increasing wages too, not by mandate, but by realizing that the, you know, competition is stiff and that, you know, they want to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's pretty good news in my opinion. And again, you know, it's hard to say, is Walmart just a basic starter job or whatever? And my response is, I don't want to look at it that way. I want to say, hey, at least it's a job. It's better than no job. I'll tell you that right now. And it's better than being on the dole. At least there's dignity and hard work in it. And, you know, hopefully that's a symbolism of other companies coming back and having work available as well. All right. San Clemente, what is it, California, Kurt?
That's right,
I had
Sam,
to add the California part to the story so people knew where it was at. You know what I mean?
I'm sure aware of, you know, where that is.
But most people, if they saw that, might not know, right?
Your California roots, you know, and all that stuff. You know, I was just, shocked. There's in San Clemente, you know, you got some terrible guys, kids going out there doing a little bit of skate park stuff. And so then the government, going to fix that.
Darn right. Fresh air and exercise. Shut that down.
They decided to put 37 tons of sand in the skate park. I'm kind of hoping for the follow-up story where at night all the guys who've been skaters go there with shovels and brooms and sweep it out and get it all cleaned up, and then we'd see if the government's going to go fill it up again, you know.
What would they do? Put the sand on the IRS's front porch? What would they do, Kurt?
Well, they could just get it outside of the, you know, skate park.
Probably be illegal movement of sand.
Then you'd have
like
a nice sand pile to play in, you know, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, I just find that interesting. So this city, San Clemente, California, literally fills the skateboard park with 37 tons of sand. And I'm just thinking, are you kidding me? What for? I guess so people don't skate too near each other. I mean, skateboarding requires a degree of distancing just by the very nature of the sport, doesn't it, Kurt? Like when I'm trying to do my
government overreach, just one more time, big ones.
I know, but when I'm going up that pike or whatever, and I'm on the edge, and I'm trying to do my 180 on my skateboard or whatever I'm doing, and spinning around and going up and down really fast, and I can't be having people like near me, can I?
Well, Sam, that's logical, but
it's like step aside, buddy. The man's coming into the bowl. Get out the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like ultimate social distancing, if you ask my opinion. I don't even know what they're doing, Kurt. And this is what I mean. They've just gone insane.
Well, this is to stop the rebellious skateboarders.
I'm just telling you right now that right
now
they've
broken the state's stay-at-home orders. You know,
I know, but Kurt, they're getting fresh air and they're getting sunlight and they're getting exercise. And I mean, pretty soon those people probably won't even have the coronavirus, or maybe they'll have it. They'll just be so immune it won't even affect them, and then they'll have this natural herd immunity and everything.
Yeah. Well, see, that'd be solutions. They say the San Clemente officially closed their parks and recreational facilities April 1. Well, by the way, that's April Fool's Day. As part of the state's stay-at-home orders to help stop the spread of COVID-19, they say. In the 2 weeks that followed, officials received numerous complaints that large groups of people were continuously gathering at Ralph's Skate Court. Yeah, those CSAY people are trying to tell on people. Taking a hardline stance, officials finally decided to draw a line in the sand. On April 13th, they dumped 37 tons of the granular substance over the park, while the sand has proven
an effective
deterrent.
Is it a private skateboard park or a government one, Kurt?
Well, you know, the thing is, Sam, this is the government telling you you're supposed to stay home.
I know, but if I'm the owner of the park and stuff like that, and it's a private thing. See, I bet it's a government park down there, though, and the government can do what they want. But I just say disband the whole government park. That would be my plan.
They say while the sand has proved an effective deterrent for most, one determined skater was spotted riding through openings in the sand. Sam,
that'd be kind of cool. Slalom through all the little sand
maybe
piles
they'll have
and stuff
to
like
post
that.
Like you know, some sharpshooters around. Just
no,
to make
Kurt,
sure
don't even say that kind of stuff. Hold on, like, Kurt's getting out of
just
control.
Just crazy. You know,
it is crazy. You're right about that fact.
Do this kind.
All right,
of stuff,
the cops are hunting down. Find a man. What was he doing? Hanging out alone on an Italian beach.
Yeah, so you got a picture of
what's
a
this
beach.
Dude living the dream,
beach.
Kurt.
This guy's laying out there catching some sun. He's probably got his favorite drink and he's maybe got some food, and but he's all alone. And guess what? Hey, the police show up and they gotta hunt him down and find him. You know, we gotta stop this. But he is on an Italian beach, you know, so maybe it was the wrong nationality for being there, you know.
What do you mean? They're starting to control by nationalities who can be there?
No, I'm just kidding with you.
I wonder why this guy, though, is in trouble for being alone, Kurt.
Well, you know, I mean, it's probably one more of those deals where they said, hey, you're supposed to all stay home, you know, and this guy
what if he's homeless and the beach is his house, dude?
Oh, yeah, good point. Well, maybe I don't know about a homeless guy on the beach, but that's a good point. Usually they want to jam him in some government building, you know, where they can control them, you know what I mean?
All right.
This was in Rome, and they used some drones, quads, and a jeep to hunt down this man on this beach. Yeah.
We did exactly 13 of Kurt's 26 stories. 13 more coming up next hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam and Kurt highlighting news that networks refuse to use every day. 6 days a week on your radio. The seventh day, we take a rest. How do you like that? All right, LibertyRoundtable.com, our website. And there's a big old article up there about a coronavirus hoax that you ought to read. Also, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips at LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate and spread the word, would you please? Every penny helps. LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network. Download their phone apps for iPhone and Android today. LovingLiberty.net, radio at your fingertips. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.